welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Dr. Anthony Yu, Vice President of Computing and Wired Infrastructure at GlobalFoundries. Welcome to the podcast, Anthony.
Thank you, Daniel. Very happy to be here.
So first, Anthony, can you tell me what brought you to semiconductors?
Well, it's a kind of a long story, but I'll give you a quick net of it. I went to college at Berkeley, right at the foot of Silicon Valley, and I'm very intrigued by computer chip technology. And so when I went off to get my PhD at Cornell, I worked on ion implantation technology and HBTs. And so my first job coming out of Cornell was at IBM Burlington, building 64 megabit DRAMs. And from there, a course of different positions brought me into what I'm doing now, which is leading the silicon photonics business unit at GlobalFoundries.
Great. So let's talk about silicon photonics. It's a big topic right now. So why is the time right for silicon photonics today?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, optics has been around for a long time, and the workhorse technology for optics has been things like 3-5 semiconductors such as indium phosphide. But I think what we're seeing right now is, you know, the long-awaited hockey stick of demand for silicon photonics, because it offers the manufacturability of optics, it offers a scale of 200 and 300 millimeter technology. In the case of GlobalFoundries, we have 300 millimeter technology, and now we have real demand for more bandwidth, low latency, and, you know, and then communication demands within data centers, which are all kind of creating the perfect storm of demand for silicon photonics to really carry optics to the next level of pervasiveness.
So you really recently went to OFC, which is, you know, one of the premier photonics conferences. What were the biggest themes or outcomes from the event, and how well was it attended?
Oh man, Daniel, it was fantastic to be there. I'll have to say that attendance-wise, it probably still wasn't at full capacity, but you know, in its heyday, pre-pandemic, it was a virtual who's who of everybody in the industry from around the world. We had, I'd probably say it's about 60-65% attendance. But certainly the major players were there, and the buzz was absolutely palpable. In past years, OFC always kind of highlighted just the uptick in bandwidth for pluggable transceivers. So in past years, you saw, you know, 10 gig moving to 40 gig, moving to 100 gig. But this year, I think the main story from my perspective was moving beyond pluggable transceivers into what they call co-packaged optics. You probably heard a lot about that. But we're starting to now see optical interconnects, service for GPU to GPU connections, and switch optical connections as well. So we're starting to see the migration and what I described earlier as pervasiveness of optics moving beyond pluggables into other applications. That was truly exciting, with some, you know, live demos on the floor, you know, featuring silicon photonics for optical interconnects.
Oh, that's great. You know, I went to my first live conference this month, DesignCon, out here in Silicon Valley. And wow, it, you know, I just forgot how important it is to, you know, meet with people face to face in the conference settings and all the panels and such. And you're right, it wasn't quite pre-pandemic levels, but it's getting there. I think we're going to see some big numbers this year. So let me ask you about specifically about GlobalFoundries. What is GlobalFoundries doing to address the needs of this market, of the silicon photonics market?
Well, I was asked to start a foundry business in 2016 in silicon photonics, and it turned out to be a pretty prescient move on the part of GlobalFoundries to kind of identify the, you know, pent-up demand or the demand that they foresaw in cloud data centers. And that demand really was highlighted, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, during the whole work at home, school yourself at home and entertain yourself at home due to the pandemic. And so we found ourselves in almost a perfect position where we have qualified our foundry platform for silicon photonics in 300 millimeter. And that's what we announced, Daniel, at OFC last March, which was the qualification of our second generation platform called GF Photonics. So I think when I started this business with just two people in 2016, to actually devote a silicon manufacturing line in a large scale foundry to photonics was kind of looked at somewhat skeptically, because a lot of people felt that the demand wouldn't justify the enormous capital and manpower required to actually launch a foundry platform. But we find ourselves now at an almost ideal position to be able to, you know, service the foundry needs of photonics for a whole host of customers, you know, Fortune 100 customers doing pluggable transceivers, doing co-packaged optics, but a whole bunch of very innovative young startups that are also looking to use photonics with the platform, Daniel, for things like photonic computing and even quantum computing. So I think, you know, you can either call it, you know, incredible strategy or good fortune, but GlobalFoundries finds itself in a really nice position of being a foundry supplier and a market leader in photonics foundry.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about the landscape, you know, for us that don't know, and tell us what's unique about what GlobalFoundries are doing?
Well, the landscape is that there are a lot of capable semiconductor fabs out there that are doing things with optics. It's a industry that's being propelled forward on the back of innovation, a lot of it being done kind of piggybacked on all the learning that's been done in CMOS foundry. So the process control that we have in our CMOS foundry is helping us in photonics, but it's also including the introduction of unique materials that are carefully selected and put into manufacturing in our line, which allows you to kind of reach the levels of performance that photonics demands. What's unique about GlobalFoundries is, in addition to, you know, the as expected active and passive optical components, you know, things like modulators and waveguides and germanium detectors, we also have a platform that we call GF Photonics, that's spelled with an F, for our photonics brand, where we have a standalone unique platform where we have now combined RF CMOS, which we practice in our CMOS foundry, with our optical components on the same chip. So we offer a PDK, a process design kit, that has both RF CMOS and optics on the same PDK, which allows you to do electrical optical simulation and be able to create a chip that is basically doing the function of three or four different chips that would be normally be done in the past discreetly. We allow you to do it now on a chip, which brings you significant economic as well as performance advantages.
Anthony, can you tell me which customers you're working with in this space?
Yeah, I can mention the customers that have agreed to be included in our press release and agreed to be included in these types of conversations. You know, as a foundry, we guard each customer's IP and product plans very carefully, because, you know, that's the whole point of being a foundry, as being a manufacturing service. But I can cite the customers that have agreed to be featured to be on our platform, and they were included in our press release. From a pluggable transceiver standpoint, we work with people like InnoLight and MACOM. From a co-packaged optics standpoint, we work with our market leaders like Broadcom, NVIDIA. From a position of both pluggable transceivers and co-packaged optics, we work with Cisco. And then we work with a set of very exciting, innovative startup companies, one of which, Daniel, was on your podcast a month ago, in the form of Ayar Labs and Renovus. And then in the area of photonic computing, we work with a startup called Light Matter. And in the area of quantum computing, we work with a startup called Psi Quantum, PSI Quantum. So it's a really nice mix. Those are just some of our customers. We have many more, but those are the ones that have publicly come out and helping to promote Silicon Photonics Foundry and helping to promote our platform. So you can see we're fairly busy with these guys, but we're very, very proud and pleased with our collaborations with all of them.
has an impressive list. That's good to know, because, you know, silicon photonics, I mean, we've been covering it for 11 years, but it just seems to have come to the forefront. So, you know, congratulations on your hard work. So let's just talk, one more question. Let's talk about what people are doing with this. You know, what are the hottest applications for silicon photonics?
Yeah, as I said, the dominant, I mean, if you go on to any of the typical industry reports, you'll see that the majority of shipments are in the pluggable transceiver space. So that's going to continue. And as data centers move to more and more bandwidth, that will continue to grow. I think the overall market's growing, at greater than 30% compounded growth over the last 5 years. I think co-packaged optics, which is kind of the next volume front, we'll start to see, you know, we're seeing customer sampling parts at the end of this year, early next year, and we'll probably see volume in 2024, 2025, led by some of the switch providers and the GPU providers. As machine learning and artificial intelligence takes off, and you need to be able to create enormous computing power with very low latency, I think you'll see AI and ML really drive silicon photonics over the course of the next 3 to 5 years. And then beyond that, as the need to reduce power for these incredible computing demands really moves to the forefront, you'll start to see photonics used for photonic computing and quantum computing as well. So, you know, no pun intended, I think the future is extremely bright for silicon photonics and for photonics in general.
Great. Good pun, by the way. Well, that's all the questions I have, so we can end it here. Thank you, Anthony. It's very nice meeting you, and hopefully we can be in touch with you again soon. And thank you, everybody, for listening in on the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Very good. Thank you, Daniel.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.